Okay. Everybody still in the room, move on up. You don't want to have to strain to hear me, do you? Shh. I knew you could do it. There we go. Good evening. I am thrilled to be here because if I weren't here, I'd be teaching the second and third graders. But also, I get to talk about motivation. Let me restart that. Hang on. So how many of you have ever had a bad boss? Just didn't really make you want to do anything. Let's try that again. Okay, I'm back. Anyway, I'm big on lists. I love this format for the classes because we're a slightly smaller group. So my goal is that you're going to teach the class. I'm just going to direct. But you have all the information. But let's think for a minute. I need you to tell me, what are some characteristics of an unmotivated, lousy, no good, very bad boss? Now, wait a minute. How many of you have ever had that guy or woman as a boss? Be honest. How many of you have ever been that boss? Anyway, okay. So what are some characteristics that you would outline as being the bad boss? Yeah. Laziness. Okay. Right at the top of the list. Okay. What else? A procrastinator. Not just an amateur procrastinator, a procrastinator. Okay. Yeah. Won't support the subordinates. I'm not there for you. Yeah, I'll push you under the bus anytime it helps my career, right? Yeah. Micromanagers. That may be where I tip the scale sometime. Yeah. Apathy. Well, I really don't care about your answer, so. No. Exactly, yeah. I don't care. Yeah. I tried to form a society for the apathetic, but nobody'd come to the meetings. Any other characteristics? Bad boss. Oh, yes. Make the rules, but don't follow them themselves. The rules are for you, not for me. That's real true, yeah. Okay, I don't know my own job because I'm so busy having my team do it for me. And that's not even knowing your job, it's knowing my own job, right? Yeah. Yes. Provides no training. Okay, yes. Insecure. I like that. That creates a lot of bad vibes, doesn't it? Yes.
Unethical.
That's a tough one. You ever been asked to do something by an unethical boss that you knew wasn't right? Difficult situations. I'll set aside there my favorite story once. I was once told by my boss, I'm standing outside his office, and I picked up the secretary's phone to answer his line, and it was for him. And he knew who it was. So he said, "Tell her I'm not here." So I said, "Chuck says you're not here. Says he's not here." I wasn't going to lie. He never, ever again asked me to lie for him. So, you know. He had to play it off as a joke, because, okay, I'll take the call then, yeah. He didn't mean it as a joke. Anyway, okay, so that's a bad boss. And most of us have had a bad boss. If you haven't had a bad boss, you may be too young. Maybe you've just had a bad teacher, okay? But along the way, most of us encounter that. That's real life, as I keep reminding my son, okay? You got a deal. Let's flip the coin, though. Tell me about a great boss. What are the characteristics? How many of you have ever had a great boss? Okay, that's a cool thing. Tell me, what are the characteristics of a great boss? Yeah. They spend one-on-one time. Okay, yes. They motivate their employees. Okay, don't just show up, I motivate you. Danny. You know that SMART goal thing. Yeah, measurable, attainable, yes. But they set reasonable goals, attainable goals. Yes. A team player. Unless they're playing golf. No. Ah, rewards and bonuses. We like rewards and bonuses, don't we? Yes. Empower the employees to make decisions. They keep their word. They're reliable. Yes. They encourage career development. You know, there's the philosophy that says, I don't want to hire anybody who could replace me. You end up with a really bad staff. You know, I've always followed the philosophy, I want to hire a lot of people who can replace me. Because, you know, as I always tell my managers, I can never promote you out of your management role unless you can tell me who your successor is. You're stuck for life till you can find your replacement. Right? Sorry. Yes? I'm sorry? Fair to all the employees. Yes. Okay, so we know what a good boss looks, sounds, feels like, right? We know what a bad boss is like. I know what a perfect boss is like. You know? Do we work for a perfect boss? God. You know, I never liked the bumper sticker that says, God is my co-pilot. Why'd you demote him? You know? Okay, but yeah, God is the perfect boss. If you think about the characteristics you named as a great boss, those in general, you can apply in a spiritual realm to God. That's who He is. That's what He wants from us. That's how He motivates us. That's how He treats us. God does what He says He'll do. He is reliable. He does care for each one of us. He does treat us fairly, sometimes almost too fairly, but that's another story. Y'all remember the sidebar, but I'm easily distracted. You'll know that about me. Howard Johnson's used to run a commercial about the Howard Johnson's Inn. We treat you the way you deserve to be treated. Scared me away from them for life. I don't want to be treated the way I deserve to be treated. I want to be treated the way that God treats me through grace. Okay. Anyway, if you're working for the perfect boss, how motivated are you going to be? There we go. So what we're talking about tonight, in case you're wondering, is motivation. What's your motivation? How's your motivation at work? Proverbs regarding work, motivation. Okay? So I need this half of the room to find Colossians 3:23. One of you is going to read it. And I need this half of the room to find Ecclesiastes 9:10. And one of you is going to read it. See, I told you you're doing all the work. Okay, Colossians 3:23. Who's got it? I know you can find it. Steve, speak up for us here.
Whatever you do, do it enthusiastically as something done for the Lord and not for men.
Y'all hear that okay?
Yeah.
And Ecclesiastes 9:10. Who's got that one? George. These are both not Proverbs. You might have noticed that. But hey, we're cheating. So that's the up and the downside of good work motivation. I'm working for the perfect boss. And eventually when I die, I won't get to work anymore. Okay? We talked in the first class 3 weeks ago instead of 2 weeks ago because of the break there. But Jeff and I talked about the idea of work is something that God has designed us to do, right? We're not made to sit around and goof off. Some of us think we are, but we're not really made that way. But we're designed for work. But the question becomes, how do I tap into the motivation to keep on working, to really do great, to be focused on it, to show up every day and be the person at work who makes the workplace move? Are some of you already like that? Are you the ever-ready Energizer bunnies at your work? I bet some of you are. Are you cheerful? Are you motivating? You encourage other people? Okay? And that's awesome if you can do that. One of my interview questions when I'm interviewing and hiring people, and by the way, if you're good at technical support, get me your resume. I'm hiring 3 openings right now. Okay? Just not a good month for keeping some employees. Anyway, but one is a net new position. But one of my interview questions, so you'll be prepped for this if you apply, is what gets you out of bed in the mornings other than the alarm clock? Why do you want to come to work every day? What is your goal? I need a paycheck. That's admirable. That's appropriate. It is not wrong to work for money. That's what we do. Is there more? Is there more? What would you, who do you want to be when you grow up, if you grow up in my case? Okay? Who do you want to be? How do you want to accomplish things? What's your best motivation at work? If you're lucky enough to be one of those folks who's working for a great boss, and you have great coworkers, and you have a great corporate culture, it may not be too hard to be motivated. For the other 97% of us, it can be a little tougher, right? I was going to say, I think Phil has the best coworkers, right? Yeah. Phil wakes up, looks around the office, and says, I'm here. Okay. But for the rest of us, it can be a little tough to be motivated some days. Your boss isn't treating you right. Right now at my work, I'm not feeling the love, okay? I mean, that's just the honest truth. It's a good place to work, but they're working us too hard, and us doesn't mean, oh, me, oh, wine for me, but the whole company. That's why I'm losing some employees. They've discovered they can get a paycheck for 8 hours a day instead of 12. I'm trying to keep that a secret. But we're just working too hard, too much going on. It's good for the company, it's growth, it's fantastic, but it's not right now a great place to work for some of those reasons. A lot of pressure. You know, one misstep and you feel like you've just blown everything because there's a lot of pressure right now. That's not evil. They pay me well. I don't want to complain. But it doesn't mean I go in every day feeling like, gee, I'm just so happy to be here. You know, I have to find some other motivation. So what's the key to being motivated every day, no matter where you work? Remember, you're teaching, not me, so that's not a rhetorical question. What's the key? Colossians 3:23, remember who you work for, right? Did you have your quiet time this morning? Did you remember who the boss is? Whatever you're doing, work at it with all your heart. You know? That can motivate all of us every day, no matter what. Amen. Okay? And you know what? A disciple should be the star employee in every office you're in. Amen. You might have to be working on some skills. You might have to be working on some corporate knowledge of what's going on. You might have some things to climb. You may not be the most senior, capable person, but you should be the star.
That's right.
Why? Well, back in the day, back before my hair was turning gray, I was an employee, and I used to get bonuses and pats on the back and way to goes and attaboys. And I wondered, what is the big deal? I show up for work. I do what they tell me to do. I don't cheat, I don't lie, I don't steal, I go home. Then I became a boss, and I realized that if you show up to work, do what you're told to do, don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal, you are a star. Okay? And I'm serious. I mean, we laugh, but if we were being brutally honest, please don't raise your hands on this one, I don't want to know. But how many of us have stolen time from our offices in the last week? Maybe browsing Facebook? I don't have an account, I'm never going to have it. But maybe shopping for whatever, maybe doing whatever. You know, just, you know, how many of us have gossiped at work, or, you know, maybe been divisive, or maybe said something nasty about one of the bosses behind their back, or, you know, we do that. It's human. But if you don't do that, you're going to stand out. What we're going to prove in a minute is you know what a good worker is. Actually, what we'll prove is you know what a bad worker is, because we're going to get there. But what you already know, you have to go do. And to do it, you have to be motivated. And the motivation is the hard part, unless you wake up with God every morning. You can be motivated by other things. You can be a cheerful, hard worker and completely ungodly. But I don't think you can be godly and be a lousy, poor attitude, horrible worker. I just don't think you can do it. Because you work for God. He's going to give you whatever bonus you really deserve. Okay, so we picked on the boss. Now let's pick on the employees. If you're sharing about yourself in this, I don't want to know that. You can say it's a hypothetical friend of mine, okay? But what I want to know is, what are the signs that one of your coworkers really is not motivated? So, signs of an unmotivated worker. I'm trying to stay near the mic so that they can... I should do what Jeff did. I could break down what's the Hebrew of motivation, and motive means movement, and but nah. Okay, so signs of no motivation in a coworker. What do you see that makes you know that that guy, that woman, whatever, is not motivated? Yes. Late. Late. Yes. We're here. Lazy. Yes, over here. Complaining. Okay. Clock watching. This is in danger of falling. I hope. Understand the physics of how that stays up. Sorry. Okay, let's see. Yes. Missed deadlines. Okay. Yeah. Gossip. Yeah. Always on the internet and not for work. Always on the internet. Excuse maker. But I wasn't really making excuses. I was just explaining. Yeah, okay. Excuse maker. We got room for two more. Thomas.
Repeating the same mistakes over and over.
Repeating the same mistakes. So I need someone. Yeah. Attitude. Attitude. You ever been told you have an attitude? You know, we all have attitudes. It's just some of them are good. When they tell you you have an attitude, they probably didn't mean good. Okay. So an attitude. I might say an attitude of, like, rebellion, right? That, I don't need to do that. Okay, I know there are dozens more, but I'm out of paper, so we have to quit. That's how we keep time. Okay, so... we can recognize, just like we could recognize a bad boss, we can recognize the unmotivated coworker, can't we? Now, some days, we have met the enemy and they is us, right? But if you're tied in with God, you overcome that. And we'll talk about the great worker here shortly, okay? But I want to dive into a few of these. And I counted on you, and you did a great job. You call out the ones that I know I already have scriptures for. See, you're so good. So laziness. Now, I need, again, we're going to divide the room. Before we go to Proverbs, we'll land in Proverbs 6 in a minute if you want to pre-turn there. But first turn, let's see, this half of the room, you can put a bookmark there. See, that's pre-turning. Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Someone's going to read that in this half of the room. And in this half of the room, someone's going to read Revelation 22, 15. You'll probably recognize those if you've been through a sin study. Now, what I want is someone in this half of the room to read Galatians 5, 19 to 21, and especially when you reach the word laziness, bring it out. Any volunteers?
The actions of sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God.
There you go, Galatians 5, 19 to 21. But you forgot the word lazy.
And the like.
We'll go with that. Okay. Laziness is not called out as a sin there, but maybe it is in Revelation, so let's try that one. Who's got that one? Bill?
Outside of adults, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood.
Again, you left out the word lazy, man. Anyway, yeah. My point is not that laziness is good, but we can excuse laziness fairly easily in our own minds. Why? You know, sexual immorality, well, that's pretty called out. And if you're doing that, you probably feel a pretty big guilt load and are hiding that and are not talking about it, and you should repent. So don't do that. But sins that are called out are there right in front of you. But there are a lot of sins that are a little harder for us to feel connected to, the guilty about, you know? And laziness is a difficult one. You know, drunkenness, 9 times out of 10 I could probably call it out. If you show up drunk at my house, I might figure that out, right? But laziness is the subtle thing, right? You know, maybe I just didn't work as hard as I could have worked. You know, I'll tell you the closest verse I come to with lazy sometimes is he who does not do the good he knows he should do, to him that is sin, right? That would keep you from being lazy. That would keep you busy 24/7, right? So in Proverbs 6, that's where we're going to go. So you can all turn there. We're finally going to go to Proverbs. But Proverbs has a lot to say about laziness. How many of you like working with a lazy coworker? What's the problem with working with a lazy coworker? I mean, they're not harming you, are they? How does he harm you? I got to pick up your slack. You know, I have to carry my work plus his work. You know, that stinks. That's not a fun workplace, right? Well, Proverbs has a lot to say. So in Proverbs 6, verses 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and it keeps on rolling. I'll read this one just to save you all the trouble. But Proverbs 6, verse 6, go to the ant, you sluggard, consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. Okay? This comes back to, you know, my discovery back 20 years ago about what it takes to be a good worker. The bar really isn't that high. Now, specific skills, if you're a neurosurgeon and you're operating on me, the bar is very high, okay? But in reality, you can go be a great worker every day, whatever your skill level, whatever your job, if you show up and you're not lazy and you do this work. You know, just bring the energy.
Amen.
You ever watched your favorite NBA team walking up and down the court in the third quarter of the game, giving up already? I want to throw things at the TV. You know, it's like, come on. I'm paying you millions of dollars. Play the game. Don't get lazy. Don't be those guys. Okay? It drives me crazy. And I'm sure it drives each one of you crazy, unless you're the one doing it. In which case, you may not even know you're doing it. And that's the trick. It's this subtle thing. I'm not being lazy. I just took a minute to check the news on the web. I heard something might have happened. Apparently, some guy took the BlackBerry, keeps me informed. Some guy's holed up in a Florida hospital shooting people or threatening to or something there right now. So, hey, you know, that's not good. So I'm not being lazy. I'm just checking the news. Well, they're not paying me to check the news.
Yep.
Okay? They really aren't. The news will be on tonight when I get home from work. I don't need to, you know. That's reality. Now, I'm multitasking. Okay, yeah. And how efficient are you at multitasking and getting your job done great and well? Okay? If you focus, you're going to do better. It's not rocket science, or maybe it is. Maybe that's what you do, rocket science. But if so, focus. We don't want the rockets blowing up. Okay? So, hey, you know, easily distracted. I think that's in the ADD definition, right? Okay. So, I love this verse. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit. Okay? Why am I teaching this piece of the class? Jeff and I got to pair up and figure this thing out, right? And he decided, Peter, you are just so motivated all the time. And I'm thinking, I am? Okay? So great. I'd be very happy to teach the class. I have no problem with it. I don't know whether I'm more motivated by the fear of failure or the joy of success, but either way, I love to get things working. I love that God's given me some gifts that I can use in my life, in my job. I love that God has given me whatever talent I have. I love that God's given me a job. And I'm grateful. That's the secret. Okay, class over. That it's not that deep. Be grateful to God,
amen,
and you will be motivated. I have been involuntarily unemployed. Richard remembers as well because I was calling him saying, can we do lunch? I'm depressed. A few years back now. I've talked with many of you when you were between jobs. That's the benevolence deacon thing. You know, I get to talk to you. That's cool. You know what? Most of you are amazing. Because you buck up and you get over it and you figure out how to keep working. You're not being lazy. Some I have challenged in that regard, but not very many. Your nature isn't lazy. Don't become that. Change it. Repent. Be a disciple. Be that person. Anyway, Proverbs 10 verse 4 says the same thing. Lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands bring wealth. Now, I don't care if laziness is a sin or not right now. Which one do I want to be? You know, it's a pretty straightforward choice. Okay, Proverbs 12:11. How many of you still have that handout we tried to get out to everybody 4 weeks ago? Good. Just flip through that. About every other verse in Proverbs is about laziness, okay? Proverbs 12:11. He who works his land will have abundant food, but he who chases fantasies lacks judgment. One way I see laziness at work, people who think that they're, you know, I think I should be promoted. I think I would work hard if they gave me the job I deserve. You know, if you got the job you deserve, you'd be in the unemployment line with that attitude, okay? But I hear that. If you gave me the right job, I'd be a great worker. Very simple counsel I give frequently to employees. My role, I'm a VP. I have directors. I have managers. I have this chain of command thing going on. You want to move up a tier? Then do the work of that next tier up. Sooner or later, I'll figure out you're doing it, and I'll get you the title. That doesn't mean kill your boss. That doesn't mean neglect your current duties. But I mean step up and be that guy. Be that woman. Do it. We'll notice. We want to make money. The company wants to make money. If you're a star, we're going to find a way to help us make money. You know, it almost always works that way. There are some pathetic workplaces that will never happen. I recommend looking for new work, but don't quit until you get the new job. That's another of my religions, okay? Sign the W-4 at the new place, then give your notice, okay? Get from here to there, okay? But chasing fantasies. A lot of us think we could do better, but the man. Something about the job, this, that. It's laziness. Do the work. Whatever it is that's before you, do it. Verse 24 in the same chapter. Diligent hands will rule. You'll love this, but laziness ends in slave labor. You feel like you're showing up at the slave labor camp every day? Think about the attitude. Proverbs 15, verse 19. The way of the sluggard is blocked with thorns, but the path of the upright is a highway. Now, that could be read many ways, but I read it metaphorically. The way of the sluggard is, gee, it looks like it's hard to do that. I guess I won't. The path of the upright is, I got to get from here to there. So whatever is between here and there is the highway. Might be bumpy, might be blocked. It's the highway. I'm getting there. That's how I read that. You can read it any way you want. It's the Bible. But you know what? I deal with employees frequently. I deal with myself sometimes, saying I don't want to do this. It looks hard. Make it a highway. Get it done. Let's see. I won't go through all of these. I have to get to one of my favorites. Proverbs 19, verse 24. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish. Some of you know this one. He will not even bring it back to his mouth. Okay. Talk about a picture. That's a cartoon of selfish right there, right? I mean, that's what that is. It's a cartoon of selfish. Selfish. Lazy. You know what I meant. Lazy. Maybe selfish too, but selfish, you probably bring it back to your mouth. Let's see. And then Proverbs 22:13. We'll hit that one. The sluggard says, there's a lion outside. Or I will be murdered in the streets. What God's saying here is that sometimes those excuses we make are not so much excuses, they're just laziness. Go ahead and try, see where you get. Journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step, right? You know, go do something. So, that and about 400 more Proverbs in the book there. Feel free, flip to a random page, you'll find one. Laziness is something God despises. Okay? And it's perhaps one of our most common sins. It's so easy to back down. Now, perspective. Am I saying there is no appropriate time to take a break at work? I'm not saying that. Maybe your boss says that. Then you get to deal with your boss. Am I saying that it's never okay to collapse at home and turn on the TV because you had a long, hard day? I'm not saying that. But beware, because there's not a nice, neat little dividing line that takes me from diligent to lazy. It's a step function. You just keep getting there closer and closer. Okay? So watch yourself. Ask your wife, ask your husband, ask a friend, am I lazy? Am I frequently lazy? Maybe that's a better question. I guess all of us are lazy sometimes. Given my druthers, my perfect Saturday involves climbing out of bed at the crack of noon. So yes, I'm lazy if I get my choice, okay? But I'm generally pretty energetic because I'm energized about the things I want to get done. It isn't that I'm just naturally filled with energy. It's that I get to go study the Bible with someone. I get to go talk with a couple who's fighting about something. I get to go take care of this. That sounds horrible. No, it's good. It's cool. I get to get up and go on a date with my wife. Whatever it is, I'm excited about what I'm doing. Work. Oh my goodness. I'm going to get up and go to work. Yes, I'm excited about it. God gave me that job. He wants me to do something there. So I guess I better show up and figure out what it is He wants me to do. Okay? Don't let yourself get in the trap of laziness. Let's see. How am I doing? A few more minutes. We'll tackle one more. We did near the top. We'll do the bottom, attitude, because I have some scriptures for that one too. I have scriptures for a lot of these, but I figure I make a list, you make a list, we'll match pretty well, right? Attitude, and what I put it down is as rebellion. You're not the boss of me. Actually, she may be. You might want to think that through, okay? The CEO at my company, okay? He's a couple of steps removed from me. I work for the COO. Chief Operating Officer, for those who aren't in on the code. And he works for the CEO, Chief Executive Officer. That's the president, the CEO. He's got it made. No, I'm close enough to him. I see what goes on. He's scrambling right now, putting together what do I need to do to present to the board at the next board meeting. He has bosses. Chairman of the board works for the stockholders. Everybody has a boss. Ultimately, the boss that matters is up there, is here among us, is God. Okay? Make that one work. I was just getting into it. Don't hang up now. Okay. Sorry. So, why my children don't let me dance in public. Okay. Biblical teaching, if you go read through the Bible looking for workers, what you probably want to do in your concordance is look up slaves. Okay? Back in the day, that's pretty much what you were. You either were the rich guy or you were the slave. There wasn't a lot of middle class. So we need to look for this slave mentality, not in the negative way, but in the positive way. The Bible does not give us a different standard, a different expectation, a different way to behave because you're called a slave versus a valued employee. Right? Y'all have that at your work, right? Employees are our most important asset, they say, as they cut your pay and enough. Anyway, yeah. What's up with that? Anyway, treat me like that then, but God does treat you like that. Work for the boss that matters. Trust me, in the first century, the disciples had it a whole lot worse in general than you do at work. They didn't get Saturdays off. Actually, they might have gotten Saturdays off because that would have been the seventh day. They didn't get Sundays off. Okay. So, and some of them didn't get any days off, I suspect. Bottom line, not a great work environment, not a great pension plan, not a great health care plan. And probably not a lot of pats on the back, appreciation, and 360 reviews with your boss. Okay? And yet, the Bible tells them to buck up, get over it, and be great workers. So what's your situation again? Rebellion. Well, I'm not rebellious. I just sometimes don't like being told what to do. Okay, and how would you define rebellion? Yeah, you know, rebel is a good thing. We're a nation founded on rebellion. You know, that it's treason if you lose and it's a revolution if you win. I think that was a Ben Franklin thing, right? I'm massacring the quote, but that's the basic idea. If you lose, it's treason. You get executed. If you win, it's a revolution. It's great. We won, you know. They took some risks back then, right? Rebellion in and of itself, in a worldly sense, might have a good purpose. Rebellion against God, who is perfect, who has perfect knowledge, not a smart move. Who got you your job? God. The day you got the job, you were probably pretty happy about it. Yeah, that's something I often ask people. It's like, this job is miserable. And I just, okay, think back. The first day when you showed up, were you thankful to God that you had a job? What happened? You know, God didn't change. He gave you the job. Be grateful. Some days are worse than others. Some months are worse than others. Some years are worse than others. Some of those who've been talking to me through the year know this is one of those years that's not great. But, you know, they're still paying me. They still treat me okay. It's still okay. And I still work for God. And if Liaison Technologies fires me, I still work for God. I have now been there and done that, and I've proved I got through it. Do it better next time, you know? Even more faith. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. How can I deal with my rebellion? Okay, how can I deal with my rebellion? Well, get wise. Proverbs 9:10. Who can read that one to me? To the class, not just to me.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge of the Holy One. His understanding.
Okay. Let's get wise. The fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom. I think sometimes, as great as our leadership is and as great as our elders are and Richard is as a preacher, I think sometimes we don't get enough of fear of God laid out in front of us, you know? And there are a lot of messages. Grace of God is also important. I don't, not as a criticism, but I think it's very easy for us to forget that this is a God who, if you looked on him, you'd die. Okay? I mean, this is such a great God. He knows everything. He created everything. God, why'd you give me this stupid job anyway? Excuse me? It was a gift the day you got it. You know? When you rebel at work, I believe you're rebelling against God. Now, you might have a bad job. And you might have good counsel to get your resume updated, get it out there, be searching for a better job. In the meantime, don't rebel. Show up and be a great employee, even in a bad job. Nothing wrong with trying to escape, but do it right. Okay? You know, some of us, I've had some terrible jobs. I understand that. And as much as I'm talking about the pressure right now, my job right now is far from terrible. So don't get that impression. But I have had some very bad jobs. But that doesn't mean rebel. That means be grateful for the job you have and look hard for a new one. Okay? Be networking. Get out there. Proverbs 15:16. Who wants to read that one for us? Somebody's brave. I know you are. Okay. A little with the fear of the Lord. Great wealth with turmoil. I suspect many of us in our inner thoughts are thinking, but try me on the great wealth just once. Let's see how I do, okay? Trust God on this. Doesn't mean you can't have great wealth, but start with the fear of the Lord, even if that means a little. And then if you want to grow that to great wealth, God, if he chooses to bless you, he will bless you. And if not, in heaven you're going to be walking on a street that's made of gold, okay? Throw that in the face of the billionaires in the world today. You know, I mean, come on, we're going to heaven. If I get to heaven living in a cardboard box in this world, not that I'm opting for that or choosing that or wanting that, but I'm still getting to heaven. You know? Proverbs 22:4. Who can read that one?
Humility and fear of the Lord bring wealth and honor and life.
Okay. So there's your wealth. Humility, fear of the Lord, bring wealth, honor, and life. Life itself. That's who you need to have on your side. God. Your boss in this world, you're a little fed up? Okay, pray about it. Get a good attitude on, but don't rebel. God put you in that job. He might put you in another one if you look hard enough, but he put you in that one. Okay? Co-workers are all lazy, and you're carrying the whole load. Okay, great. Pray about it. Invite them to Bible talks. Study the Bible with them. Make them disciples, and they'll work harder. But in any case, don't whine about it. Don't rebel. Don't be that person. Don't fight God. There was a play out years ago, "Your arm's too short to fight with God." You can't. You can't win. So, real quick, we got about 2 minutes. What are some practical ways for you to be a great worker, a great disciple? And I love this. Did I throw this in last time too? For you to be the proverbial worker. Yeah, I like that. I'll just go there. Anyway, what are some great ways you can be that proverbial, non-lazy, non-rebellious, great worker tomorrow at work? Assuming you're working tomorrow. No matter what the environment is, how can you be a great worker starting tomorrow? Let's get practical. And I need my other page. As he kills the entire stand. Okay. Great worker. Okay, what? Punctual. Be there early, be there ready to work. Bill. Go beyond. Be expected. I'm sorry?
Above reproach.
Yeah, above reproach. There's an interesting thought there. I mean, there are a lot of things tied up in that, so think that one through. Smile, I heard. Especially if you work with me. Okay. Smile. We're missing one main fuel here, but I'm okay with that. You're going to get to it. I know you are. Be grateful. Have a quiet time. Remember who's boss. And that uses up that paper pretty well, but here's my point, and I told you we were going to get to that. You know how to be a great worker. You really do. The trick is the motivation to do it, right? 2 Corinthians 5:11 says, "Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade men. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind," my son would vote with that, "it is for the sake of God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us. because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. If you're a disciple at work, above reproach, showing the good worker, now when you invite someone to come to church on Sunday and hear Richard preach, or when you invite someone to come out to the Friday night Bible study, or you just go to lunch with them and open the Bible and say, let's look at this, you'll have coworkers who are eager to hear it.
That's right.
Because you are above reproach. Being a great worker, a proverbial worker, is not just about being a good worker. It's about your mission. How are you going to reach people who don't respect you? It's the same problem if your kids are out of control and you're inviting people to come to a parenting workshop, they're going to say, why don't you go first? Right?
Yeah.
You know, if you're a great worker, you draw others to you.
That's right.
People ask me at work, why are you always so happy? And when I don't reply that it's because of the lobotomy, I reply because it's God. I try to be funny sometimes. But that said, you can do it. You can be that motivated. And it's not artificial. It's not fake. It's God. Yeah. Have the quiet time in the morning. Pray about it while you're driving to work. Not with your eyes closed, please. But make your day a day for God.
Right.
Every single morning when you wake up, make it happen. And you get to work and it's like, you know, it's been a rotten day. Isn't God fantastic? You know, because I'm still alive. I'm still here. I used to get with a brother every Friday. He was in a miserable job. And he'd come and want to cry on my shoulder pretty much every Friday. Just say, and so I learned. I'd meet him for lunch and I'd say, before you say a word, did they fire you yet? No. Then you're grateful, right? Yes, okay, now we can have lunch. Get that attitude. Be grateful. Be grateful. You know, God's given me life. I might die before I get home tonight. I don't know. But he's given me life now. I'm grateful to God. We don't deserve what we have. Enjoy it. Take it as a gift from God. Thank you.